Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing to know that we serve the God who answers by fire? He not only answered by fire in the Old Testament, the Bible declares that God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. The Bible also reveals that John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, when he had encountered the risen Jesus in heaven, he said that he looked into his eyes and his eyes looked like that of flaming fire. And he said that I fell to the ground as dead. Let us never underestimate. Let us never ever forget that he is supernatural. And it is my prayer that today you will have a revelation of the power of God that is within. Many make the mistake of seeking power that is beyond and fail to realize the power that is within. I pray that you will have a revelation and that then from that place of revelation you would manifest and demonstrate the supernatural power of God through signs, wonders, and miracles. Hallelujah. Get your Bibles, get your notebooks, get your pens. In the next few minutes that we have available with you, we're going to go into the Word of the Lord. We're going to go into quite a number of different scriptures. So just make notes as we go through the Word of the Lord together. Let's start in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, he says to the disciples that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is a promise that he makes to his disciples, saying, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The word power in the Greek is the word dunamis, which refers to strength, or then power, and even ability. It is the root word in the English language that we find the word dynamite, or dynamo, or dynamic. Dunamis power is not just ordinary power. When you actually truly understand what it is, the fact that it comes from on high. Jesus said to the disciples, remain in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. In the same way, when you go through, call it law enforcement school, whether you go through the police or the traffic department or whatever might be the case in your state or your nation, when you actually qualify, you put on the uniform, you put on the badge. In the same way, when you receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost, you are clothed with power. You are clothed with authority. That means before you even speak and say, I come in the name of, every demon, Every spirit, every wicked thing already knows. Why? Because they can see the authority that you've been clothed with. Receive that revelation today in the name of Jesus. That's why we say in the natural, respect the badge. In the spirit, they respect the blood. The blood of Jesus. You say, well, why is that? Remember, when Cain killed Abel, God is asking him, well, where's your brother? He responds arrogantly, well, am I my brother's keeper? You see, God makes it very clear that it was Abel's blood that was crying out in the spirit. Blood speaks, which is why even in the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about the fact that the blood of the martyrs are speaking. Asking, Lord, when will you avenge us? Blood speaks in the spiritual realm. And so, although it was 2,000 years ago that the blood of Jesus was spilt, once and for all, never to be repeated again, the blood of Jesus still speaks as loud, as strongly, and as clear as 2,000 years ago. If you believe that, I want you to give a mighty shout of amen and hallelujah right there in your homes. And then I want you to go in there to comment section and I want you to write it down. You can even put the hashtag, there is power in the blood of Jesus. Power in the blood. towards the end of this broadcast, in the next couple of minutes, we're going to go to the Lord's table. We're going to partake of the bread and of the blood of Jesus. So get your communion elements ready. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 30, I want to read this. Because I want to show you how the anointing and the power is in fact interlinked. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 30, it says, at once Jesus, who is the Christ, he is the Messiah. Christ is not his surname. Christ simply means the anointed one. So Jesus at once realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? I don't know about you, but there's nothing natural about touching someone's clothes and power is released from the clothes. That is not natural. It is supernatural. In other words, if you look in the natural, you're going to miss what is happening in the spiritual realm, which is what the disciples could not understand. When Jesus said, who touched me? Peter says, everyone is touching you. We are surrounded by people. But then he says, no, there was something different about this touch. Because he could feel, one translation says, virtue leave his body. And then this translation says, power left him. From the scripture, we find that power and anointing, in fact, is interlinked. The woman with the issue of blood placed a demand on the anointing. And the moment she acted in faith and said, I'm releasing my faith, placing a demand on the anointing, power came forth. Power was released from Jesus. Went to the source of the problem. And Jesus said to her, woman, your faith has made you whole. There's no denying that it is the anointing and the power that is interlinked. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. In Isaiah 10:27, it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that this burden shall be taken away off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off his neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed. Destroyed. That means to cause it to become dust, and then for the wind to just blow it away because of the anointing. Another translation says that your neck will become too large. Your neck will become fat because of the anointing. What does that mean? It means that the anointing makes your neck fat, that nothing and no one would be able to restrict the blessing of God upon your life. It means that no sickness, no disease, no poverty, no lack, no restraint. Nothing will ever be able to keep you back. Nothing will be able to hold you back any longer. For that is why Jesus came to this world. Remember Jesus, very early on in his ministry, as he announced, in essence, coming public with his ministry. He reads from the scroll of the book of Isaiah, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he has anointed me. Can you see then that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the origin that we tap into that then brings about the anointing? And when you operate in the anointing of God, no sickness, no disease, no illness, no poverty, no need, no lack, nothing will be able to keep you back. Nothing will be able to restrain you. Nothing will be able to contain you. That is why Jesus said that when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. You will not be restrained. You will not be contained. but you will go from Jerusalem into Judea, into Samaria, and then the outermost parts of the earth. Why? For all the earth will be filled with the glory of God. That is why in Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, there were those men who were tenacious and bold and courageous enough to say, Jesus, we will take you at your word. For your Spirit has come upon us now. We've received power. We've received the anointing. And we will go forth with this power and heal every kind of disease, every kind of illness. And as they went forth, shackles, chains fell off people. Because Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to set the captives free. You see, many Christians today fail to understand who they are. If there's one thing the devil is doing and is managing to do, it is to cause Christians to doubt the power that is available to them. I'm here to say to you today, to remind you, to declare unto you that you are not ordinary, that you are not average, that you are not called to live a life of mediocrity. But indeed, this is a call to the remnant of God. Those who say, I'm bold, I will be daring, I will be tenacious and courageous. I will not let go of anything or settle for anything less than God's very best in my life. In the name of Jesus. Then there's those who are so caught up with what's busy happening in the world, always pointing to this issue and this issue and this issue and this issue. Yes, we are aware of the issues, but we are the ones who go and confront those issues and bring about the solution. We are not influenced. We should not be influenced by those issues. We should influence the issues. This is why we do not let our faith simply be bottled up on the inside of us. No, we speak the word of faith amidst the circumstances. Even now, right there where you are, join me even now as we decree this over our nation, the nation of South Africa. But you may represent another nation. Even in the comment section right now, wanting to see those flags of your nations. Whatever nation it is you represent, come on, just quickly put up the flag of your nation on Facebook. For in a moment, we're going to pray for every nation. We're going to believe for every generation, especially this generation that's coming up now, to stand up bold in their faith. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we claim this country, our country, the nation of South Africa, the nations of the world that are even now represented on this broadcast. I'm needing some men and women of God to declare boldly, I claim my nation for Jesus Christ, right here and right now. That whatever it is that you are facing, this will not result in destruction. This will not result in death. This is not the end. This is just the beginning, says the Spirit of the Lord. This is not the end. This is but the beginning. There are those who have given up on this next generation. Even now we claim this next generation. We declare that they will get anointed with the Holy Ghost and the fire of God. That they will operate in the power of God. And that through their hands will come forth signs, wonders, and miracles. Kosotorobosata. We declare that revival will come to South Africa, to the continent of Africa, that there will be a sweeping of the supernatural power of God, a sweeping by His Spirit. For it is not by might nor by earthly power, but it is by His Spirit, declares the Lord. In the name of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special kind of people. You are a new breed. And that's why I say that you are not ordinary. You're not average. You're most definitely not called to live a life of mediocrity. That is why a Christian is the most powerful creature walking on the face of the earth. People were healed as Peter's shadow simply fell upon him. Right there, where as Peter was walking past, wherever his shadow fell, people were healed through the supernatural power of God. People were healed and delivered when handkerchiefs or aprons, even just pieces of cloth, would touch the skin of Paul, or just the body of Paul the apostle. So that when those handkerchiefs or aprons or pieces of cloth would be taken to the sick or those oppressed by the devil, immediately that sickness, that demon would leave them. It is time that we begin to once again naturally operate in the supernatural power of God. The Bible declares that Samson, yes, under the old covenant, the Old Testament, the Bible says that he was driven by the Holy Spirit. This was a man who was not at all a saint. He had many flaws, many character flaws. But there was a time when he said, Lord, come upon me. And he was supernaturally strengthened so that no ropes, no shackles, no chains would be able to last upon him. You see, nothing could contain him. Nothing could restrain him. If something had been placed on him to bind him because of the anointing, because of the fact that the Spirit of God was upon him, he was able to break free from his circumstances. In one instance, he faced impossible odds. He took a jawbone of a donkey, and with one man, being only himself, being filled with the Spirit of God, he slew 1,000 men. You might say, Pastor Kevin, I'm facing impossible odds. Chances are that this is going to happen. We serve the God who makes the impossible possible. We serve the God who has given us His Spirit, who has released His Spirit upon all flesh. And when you call upon Him, as we did earlier today, and you say, God, I receive Your Spirit. It is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives on the inside of you. The moment you begin to speak in tongues, what actually happens is you switch off the intellect and you switch on the Spirit. When you begin to speak in tongues, it's as though the ceiling is lifted and you are able to enter into a new realm, a higher dimension in the supernatural. That is what God desires. That is where He wants us to get into. Why? For those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that those who pray in tongues or speak in tongues edifies himself. Do you know what that word means? To edify means to empower, to increase, and to expand. In other words, the moment you are feeling trapped in the natural, the moment you feel like there's these ropes, shackles, or chains, it is in that moment that you begin to speak out It's that moment that you begin to then say, Sokorobose kianda rakabasata. That is when you remind the enemy that you have been anointed, that you have been appointed for a time and a place such as this. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. If death could not keep Jesus down, and I have the same spirit on the inside of me that raised Jesus from the dead, I'm saying to you, devil, hands off. Devil, these ropes will not hold me. Devil, these shackles, these chains, this poverty you want to place on me, this lack, this need, this sickness, this disease will not influence me. I'm breaking forth in Jesus' name because of the power and the anointing that I carry in Jesus' name. If that is you, right there where you are, I'm wanting you to give a mighty shout of praise and say, devil, you will not have the upper hand. Devil, you are not over my head. Devil, you are under my feet in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.